This is Peter Tobin introducing Lux Radio Theater. Tonight and every Monday night at this time, Lux Radio Theater presents for your entertainment the finest in radio drama. Tonight we have pleasure in presenting You're Not the Woman I Married by Malcolm Hulk. The prison alarm bell rings. Two convicts have escaped. So starts this tensely dramatic play. Listen in a few moments to how this getaway is linked to the emotional difficulties of middle-aged George Ramage and his recently acquired young wife in You're Not the Woman I Married, produced for Lux Radio Theatre by Michael Silver. You're Not the Woman I Married.
You all right?
Yeah. What are we going to do about the rope?
Leave it. Come through here, behind these bushes.
What for?
I've got me reasons. Come on. That's what I wanted to hear. The prison alarm bell. Sweet music. Telling them all we've escaped.
Evening, George.
Oh, hello, Jerry. It's Jerry Sharp, Mary.
I'm sorry to intrude on your domestic bliss, George, but there's two birds just run their cage.
What? Two men broken out of the prison?
That's right. Do your garage doors lock?
Well, no. I was going to get a padlock.
Then you'd better take out the distributor arm of that car of yours.
Oh, yes, sure.
And tip us the wink if you see anything suspicious-like.
Yeah. Oh, I don't suppose you've got time for a cup of tea, eh?
No, sorry. I've got five more streets to cover. I can see we're going to be all night on this lark.
Night, Jerry.
Well, did you hear that, then?
I could hear Jerry Sharp two streets away.
Oh, he's not that bad.
He is. If he wasn't a policeman, he'd be a car park attendant or something. Anything in uniform, ordering people about.
Anyway, we'd better bolt this back door.
But they're probably miles away by now.
Well, you don't know. The last time someone got out, a couple of years ago, he was found not more than half a mile from the prison gates. Could go and fix the car, too.
What have you got to do to it?
Take out the distributor arm.
You don't seriously think they'd bother with an old car like ours, do you?
I don't know. They'd probably prefer it to some flashy new one. Less noticeable. Anyway, it won't take a jiffy.
George?
Yes? Oh, look, I'll be a moment.
Oh...
Oh, now then, breaking our best china, that's not like you.
I don't know why I dropped it.
Oh, all right, it's only a mixing bowl. I'll clear up the mess.
It just suddenly fell out of my hand.
You've been working too hard, getting ready for tonight.
I'm terribly sorry.
Oh, it's all right, love. Accidents will happen.
But I haven't got another mixing bowl.
Well, your brother isn't going to miss a few buns that he never knew he was going to have. Anyway, you bought enough food to last us through a siege.
Do you think I've brought in too much?
No, of course not. I expect them to eat us out of house and home. That's a sailor's prerogative, isn't it?
It's awfully good of you saying they could come and stay here.
What sort of a Victorian husband do you think I am, then? This is your home, love, as much as it's mine. Any member of your family is welcome here for as long as they want to stay. You know that, don't you?
You're a very nice Victorian husband.
Yes, well, let's not harp on my advancing years.
Oh, listen who's talking. Who had to be convinced they weren't too old at 43 to get married?
Oh, I'm a year younger since then. Now, how about getting the cooking and housework and go and get yourself ready?
Give me a kiss first.
No, I'll stop work any time to do that. Now, you go make yourself look beautiful, as though you don't already. Otherwise, I'll never finish painting that window tonight.
All right. I'll be as quick as I can.
Oh, it's all right. I'll go.
Up in the ocean waves, where are the new recruits?
Hello, George.
Oh, hello, Roddy. What can I do for you?
Oh, I'm sorry to be a nuisance, but your mother's run out of bread.
There's a small white in the bin.
Oh, looks like you're in luck. Oh, let's see what we can find for you. Come on.
Have you heard about the escape?
Oh, yes, the police have been round here.
They say they'll be after civilian clothes and money, if they can lay their hands on him.
Well, then you'd better keep your fancy suits locked up. Ah. Now, this one, do you? Small white.
Oh, I should think so. Well, actually, I think your mother only sent me around here to see what's going on.
I don't suppose she wants to know what you're doing and what you're thinking all the time, eh?
Well, if I had a mother, I wouldn't talk about her like that.
Oh, I'm not talking about her like anything.
Do you and Mary get on?
Hey, you're a funny bloke, aren't you? That's the sort of thing you never ask people.
Oh, I didn't mean no offence. I mean, she's so different from people around here. Like the smart clothes she wears and that.
Of course she's different. She's from London.
Well, what did she want to come up here for?
Roddy, are you going down the street borrowing bread and running some sort of survey into the habits of married couples?
Well, you're the only people I know this side of the town.
Well, you try finding things out about people by asking other people, like everybody else does.
Well, it seems funny, that's all. Coming to a place like this from London. Oh, I'd give anything to get to London. Well, if I could get a job down there.
Wish you luck, mate. Now, do you think you've inquired enough into our business to satisfy my mother for the evening?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll get the bread to her.
I'll see you out. Hey, you better mind how you go past the Nick. Yeah, one of those blokes looks the spitting image of you.
Oh, you didn't.
Go on. Get on with you.
Good night.
Night, Roddy. Well, it hasn't taken you long to get ready.
Did you find the bread all right?
Yes, I thought you were... I thought you were getting a new dress for tonight.
Changed my mind. Don't I look all right?
Oh, you know you always look wonderful, but... Well, I thought you said you put some money by for new clothes for your brother's visit.
Money comes in useful for other things as well.
So no, love. Oh, as soon as we've got this house paid off, we'll be able to get all sorts of things. You certainly do look wonderful.
Dad, you're crushing my dress. I've just pressed it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Now then, don't sulk.
No, I'm not sulking.
I've got something for you. Do you want to see it?
What is it?
I've got it on top of this wardrobe.
Oh.
There you are. You'll probably be ever so annoyed with me for spending the money.
An electric razor.
It's the type you said you wanted.
You haven't got anything else hidden away in this house, have you?
Why do you ask that?
Well, nothing, only... Well, it's lovely, Mary, but... We can't afford that sort of thing, not yet.
But I bought it for you. I didn't steal the money. I saved it.
Yeah, but I mean, why buy it for me? So many other things that you need, that we need for the house.
I wanted to show how much I appreciate you having my brother and his friend here.
Yeah, that's costing money, too. And I don't think I begrudge a penny of it, but this is only an extra.
You just can't live, can you?
What do you mean?
It's no good trying to explain.
No, Mary, just a minute. And look, love, I didn't want to hurt your feelings.
Well, you have done.
Yeah, but well, we've got to plan for things like that.
You're frightened of that razor, aren't you?
How do you mean, frightened?
It's something you want, but you won't take it. It was the same about going away on holiday last summer, wasn't it?
We went on holiday.
Because I talked you into it. Do you remember which of us proposed marriage?
Yeah, well, I know, but well, I felt it was such a cheek. A man of my age...
George, still scared of me because I try to live a bit. You're worried about what I might do next, aren't you?
Sometimes I think I don't really know you.
How can you live with me a year and not know me?
Well, some of the things you say sometimes and do and...
Like wearing a bikini in the back garden last summer?
Oh, I mean more important things.
What do you want to know about me that you don't know already?
Nothing. I don't want to know anything that you don't want to tell me.
If you want to know about me, the me before we got married, I'll tell you. But I didn't want to hurt you.
No, I'm not talking about the past. I'm talking about now. That's what we agreed, isn't it? Now, look. Can't we see if they'd take that razor back until we can afford it?
But I wanted you to have it.
You know I'd love to have it.
Well, then keep it.
But... Well, how much did it cost?
£6.
All right.
Can we kiss and make up now?
Of course we can. Proper baby sometimes. Did you tell your brother how much older I am than you?
I said you got white hair and no teeth, and I'd take you out in a wheelchair.
There's not much in Thupton to entertain him. I hope he won't get fed up here.
Oh, he'll probably want to go to London after a few days to meet his old friends.
Well, it'll be a change at any rate after being cooped up in a ship for 18 months.
Oh, did you remember the beer?
Oh, but I thought you'd got it.
No, I asked you yesterday if you'd go to the off license.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, you've forgotten. Just a minute, I'll get my purse.
Well, I really thought you said you'd get it.
Well, it doesn't matter. Here's £1, housekeeping. You can get something out of that. They should be here any minute now. You better hurry.
All right, well, I won't be long.
Oh, and you need this shopping bag.
Oh, thanks. I'd better get my coat. It'd be freezing outside.
You won't need that. You'll only be out a few minutes.
Yeah, well, I don't want to get pneumonia. Here, let me get at the wardrobe.
But I thought you didn't like being mollycoddled.
I don't mind mollycoddling myself.
Do you want to be an old man and wear your overcoat just for 3 minutes in the open?
I'd rather be a middle-aged man and wear my overcoat for 3 minutes. Aren't you going to let me get at it?
You don't need it. You only think you do.
Yeah, what have you got in there? A body or something?
I'll give you your muffler.
Oh.
There you are. That'll keep your neck warm.
Yeah, but what about the rest of me?
That's for the rest of you. Now hurry or they'll be here.
Yeah, all right.
This is a police announcement. This is a police announcement.
What's that?
Well, it sounds like a loudspeaker.
Well, open the door.
Okay.
Please pay attention. This is an important police announcement. Two men have escaped from the prison. Please lock all doors and windows. Please report immediately to the police if you see any persons acting suspiciously. The two escaped men may still be in this neighborhood.
It's about the escape.
These men may be dangerous. Please report to the police immediately if you see any persons behaving suspiciously. This is a police announcement. Please pay attention.
I don't envy those two blokes on the run. Probably be glad when they're back inside.
They may not think so.
Did you tell your brother you'd chosen the house next door to the local Nick?
He knows all about it.
Oh. You're sure you'll be all right on your own? Wouldn't it be better if I wait till Mitch and his friend have turned up?
I'll be perfectly all right.
Well, if anyone rings the doorbell or anything, you take a good look at them through the front window before answering.
Yes, I'll do that. Don't worry.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Oh, evening, George. Well, we're talking about the escaped convicts.
And a right lot these convicts are, too. You ever see anything of them?
Oh, me?
You live next door to them.
There's a 20-foot wall between my house and that place. They might be on another planet, for all I know about them.
Well, this fella, the knifer, we never knew his real name. He broke out. Must be over 40 years ago now. He vanished. Just went out of sight. Well, they hadn't got those fast cars in those days, and he certainly didn't get a lift on a horse and cart, because they had the old place surrounded for miles in all directions. Roadblocks, everything you could think of. But there he was, gone.
Didn't they catch him?
I was coming to that. You see, he had a brother that the police didn't know anything about. And this brother, he had got himself a job as a gardener to Lord Wyman, that used to own this big estate where all those houses are now.
Oh, yes, yes, the Wyburn estate.
That's right, that's it. So there was a little cottage thrown in with this job of being a gardener. Of course, all them cottages are gone now. They were where the school is now. And this bloke, the knifer, he holds up with his brother, see? He stayed there in a back room, hiding under the bed whenever the head gardener called round on any business like. And then he moves off free as the Lord when the time suits him. Of course, by then, no one's looking for him around here.
That's the way to do it. Now then, George, what can I get you?
Well, I wanted
to... Yes, that's what he did, you see. Nobody thought of looking right here next to the prison. They thought he must have got away in the first few hours.
He knew what he was doing. You were saying, George?
Yeah, well, a quart of light and brown, two bottles of stout, and a couple of tins of lager. Oh, and half a bottle of whiskey.
Right.
Coming off.
Of course, they got him in the end, because, you see, he did in his own brother with a knife before he went on his way.
Oh, I never heard that.
Anyway, a knifer fell out with his brother over something and used his knife on him. He was a real bad lot, he was. But he got away all right before anyone found his brother's body. And he managed to join the army. No one spotted him. He just volunteered like everyone else.
Hmm. Very nice. Got any more stories like that?
I thought you might be interested.
Yeah. Oh, yes, yes. Well, I'm interested. Yeah.
Well, that's your order all set up, George. Ah, shall I put it in your bag for you?
Oh, yes, thanks, right, sir. Oh, how much is that, Lodger?
That'll be £3.02, please.
Oh, thanks, sir. There we are, then. £3. £2.60. Just right.
Ah, thanks. Very much.
Well, that's what I'd do if I was escaping from that place. Now, there was a bloke stayed actually inside the prison for a week without being spotted. By the time he finally broke out, all the hue and cry had died down, and he was able to walk out dressed as a warder, free as a lord. And then he still needed money for a train fare to get away, and the first house he tried to rob was the home of a policeman.
Oh, that was rotten luck for him.
Oh, you need a lot of luck trying to get away from a place like that. Or a lot of planning.
Seems to me you need a lot of balls.
Yes, I should think you would. You're doing all right then, George.
I'm fine.
The wife all right?
Yeah, oh, well, she gets away. Right. Yes, yes, she
is. As I was saying, this bloke actually stayed inside the prison in a workshop, it was, for a whole week without being spotted.
I'd like to hear about it sometime, but I'll be going now. Good night.
Yeah, good night, George.
Good night, George.
Oh, there you are. Any sign of them yet?
Yes. They've arrived.
Oh, jolly good.
But they've gone straight up to their room.
Oh. Oh, they want a change in that,
They're both terribly tired, George. They've had no sleep for 2 days. There's been some trouble with the boilers on their ship. They're both dead tired.
Oh, well, we'll take the beer up to them. I've gone and splashed out a bit of water.
I really think we ought to let them sleep. They both looked awful when they arrived.
You mean they're staying up there till the morning?
I don't know yet. I'm sorry if it's a disappointment to you.
No, it's all right. Oh, this is liberty.
But they were tired.
That didn't mean anything.
You are disappointed, aren't you?
No. There'll be plenty of time to get to know each other next week. Hey, what's got into you, anyway?
Nothing.
You seem so nervous since I came back.
It's nothing. It's just that I haven't seen Mitch for a long time. It seems strange him being here, that's all.
Look, they can't both be asleep yet. Yeah, why don't we go up and have a drink with them and then let them...
No, we really ought to let them sleep it out.
Oh, all right. Where's their bags and all that?
They've taken everything upstairs with them.
Ah, well, we'd better get the beer sorted out. I'll take it through to the kitchen. There's a couple of tins of lager for you. Yeah. What's Mitch's friend like? Had you met him before?
No, he's... just a chap Mitch met on the ship. They share the same cabin together. His people live in London.
Well, why didn't he go down there, then?
Mitch wanted him to meet me. I think he wanted to show off.
Hmm. What sort of fellow is he, then?
Well, he's all right. He's bought a whole bag full of toys for his kit brother.
How do you know? He opened it up.
What are you asking me these questions for?
Nothing. Well, I just wondered what sort of fellow he was. You are in a state, huh?
No, I'm perfectly all right.
Okay. Here, how about having one of your tins of lager? Here, I'll get a glass for you.
It's just that we never seem to get on so well when there are other people around. I hope it won't be like that on account of Mitch.
Oh, why should it?
Because you never really trust me. You think I may say the wrong thing and shock people?
Oh, it'd take a lot to shock a couple of merchant seamen, wouldn't it? There you are. Now, drink this. See if it doesn't put a different complexion on things, eh?
Thank you. What if, when you get talking with Mitch about the places he's been, you start wishing you hadn't got married and settled down?
Ah, is that what's on your mind?
You've always wanted to go abroad, haven't you?
Oh, everyone wants to travel.
George, what if we both went away together?
Where to?
Oh, it doesn't matter. Somewhere where no one speaks English, so there'd only be the two of us.
Is that what Mitch's coming here has done to you?
It's only made me think that we're best when we're on our own.
Look, if he's upset you in some way, have a good mind to go upstairs and ask him to go.
No, he hasn't said anything. It's just because we've got something, you and me. I don't want us to ever lose it. I don't want us to slip back to whatever we were before.
Has my mother been saying things?
No, it's got nothing to do with her, not this time. Oh. Well, in a way it is, because Mitch being up here, it makes me remember what I used to be like. George, will you promise me that whatever happens, we won't forget what we've built up together?
Well, what could happen? We're married, aren't we? I don't know what you're worried about.
Just being silly, I suppose. Maybe I just wanted to tell you how much I love you.
Well, love you. You go a very complicated way about it. I only wish I knew what was really going on in your mind.
If you could see into it right now, all you'd see would be one big muddle.
Oh, well, you drink up while I go and fix the car. Oh, I'd almost forgotten it.
What are you going to do with this arm?
Oh, distributor arm. Oh, take it out, put it on the shelf in here somewhere. Only a little thing. I'll show you in the morning how it works, if you like.
All right.
Now, you sit tight there. I won't be a jiffy. And stop worrying.
All right, I'll try. You'll need the torch, won't you?
Oh, yes, thanks. What a night. Roll on, summer. Oh. Push. Where are you? Oh, now then, push your freeze to death out here. Come on. Hello, what have we got here? Mary.
What is it?
There's two sets of prison convict uniforms in our dustbin.
Uniforms in our dustbin.
Men who escaped. They must have got hold of civilian clothes somehow, and they had to dump their prison gear somewhere, and, well, they've used our dustbin.
But there's been no one round here.
Well, they wouldn't ring the front doorbell and ask permission, would they? Anyway, it means that they can't have got very far. They must be hiding just around this street somewhere.
Why round here?
Because their uniforms are here.
But they may have been there for almost an hour and a half. I mean, well, they could have got a long way from here in
Except
that time.
Those uniforms weren't there when I went to get the beer.
How do you know?
Well, when I was leaving here, after you closed the front door, I found a banana skin someone had thrown in our garden path. So I put it in the dustbin.
But it was dark. How could you see what was in there?
Well, look, it really doesn't matter, does it? I'd have sensed if those clothes had been in there. Well, take up half the dustbin. Anyway, look, you go upstairs and tell Mitch what it's all about. You'll have to wake him up if he's asleep, and stay up there till I get back. I don't want anything to happen to you.
Where are you going?
Well, I'll tell the police, of course. Or it might be quickest if I went straight to the prison itself.
But, George, it's not our business.
What do you mean, not our business?
I just don't want you to go to the police, that's all.
Well, why not?
I don't want us to get involved.
But there's two criminals escaped from prison.
You've lived next to that place all your life, but you don't know what it's like to be inside there. Locked up, treated like an animal.
And do you?
Why do you ask that?
Well, I didn't mean do you really know what it's like to be in prison. I meant that... But I don't understand you. Of course we've got to go to the police.
George, if you feel you must go, then that's all there is to it.
But why don't you want me to?
Because you're a frightened little man.
Huh?
You always wanted to run to someone or something bigger than yourself. If your father lived, you might have got it all out of your system, but he didn't. So you're always looking for something big and powerful to lean on and make decisions for you and to run to.
You've never talked like this before.
I didn't have to. You seem to be getting more used to being a married man and not being frightened anymore.
Mary, you've been married before, haven't you?
What's that got to do with it? Up to 2 minutes ago, we were happy, weren't we? But as soon as anything comes in from the outside, we start to break up.
Like two prison uniforms in our front garden, for instance?
Like anything. We just don't remain a single unit anymore because you don't trust me. Well,
but I just don't know what to make of you, Mary.
All right, then I'll tell you. I was married when I was 18, and he was very young and foolish. Now, do you want to know any more?
Only what you want to tell me.
I didn't want to tell you things that might hurt you.
You mean you loved him more than you loved me?
Young love's different, George. It's wild and crazy. It goes deep inside you.
I know. I was in love with a girl when I was 20. Only I had my mother to think about.
Well, I didn't bother to think about anyone but me.
And did he leave you?
What happened was as much my fault as it was his. I was full of big ideas. Wanting expensive things and a gay time.
Yeah, I see. So you'd rather I didn't tell the police about those prison uniforms?
I thought we'd got off that.
I know you did.
What's that supposed to hint at?
Mary, that telegram you had from your brother, where is it?
Well, what do you want it
the
for?
The telegram he sent you from Liverpool. You never showed it to me. It should have Liverpool written across it somewhere.
Well, I suppose it did, but what are you talking about? It was 2 days ago. I must have thrown it away.
12 months we've been together, I've never seen a letter from him.
He never writes letters. Don't you think he exists or something? He's upstairs, asleep.
That'll be Jerry Sharp, likely. I invited him back for a cup of tea.
Oh, send him away. I want to talk to you.
Don't worry. Just because you're not the woman I married, I'm not going to be the laughingstock in the neighbourhood. You'll be all right.
George!
Oh, hello, Jerry. Thought it'd be you.
Well, I've got time for that cup of tea, if the offer's still good.
Yeah, it's coming.
Oh, what's the matter with you, then? Camel got the ump?
No, I'm all right. Let's get this door closed. It's freezing.
Well, aren't you going to put the chain on it?
Oh, hardly any need, sir, with you in the house, is there?
I see what you mean.
Right.
Well, I'd certainly teach them a lesson if I got my hands on them, keeping us all out on a night like this.
Yeah, well, come on down to the kitchen, get warm, eh? Oh, as a matter of fact, we were just putting the kettle on, weren't we, Mary?
Yes.
Oh, it's a rotten shame, really. All you chaps being kept out on a night like this, when for all we know, those two men may be snug as anything somewhere in the warm.
Oh, I don't know about that. They're more likely perishing of cold in someone's coal shed. Anyway, how's Mary getting on?
I'm all right, thank you.
Well, I've got to be back in an hour. There's a whole vanload of extra dogs being brought in from Nottingham.
Are they supposed to know where the men are?
They're given something to smell that the prisoners have been wearing. Then we go on the leash with them. Mind you, if I get the dog that picks up the scent, he'll be off his leash the moment he starts tugging.
You really hate anyone who's on the wrong side of the law, don't you, Jerry? I mean, you wouldn't want to deprive the dogs of their bit of fun, would you?
Well, I don't think Jerry meant anything like that, did you, Jerry?
Well, the dogs are trained not to attack a person, provided they don't offer any resistance.
I see. And the dogs decide whether the person is offering resistance or not.
The dogs are very well trained, if you're interested to know.
If you've got nothing to let the dogs smell, no clothes like...
Bedding. Oh. Use their bedding. As a matter of fact, their clothes haven't been found yet. They must have dumped them somewhere. They can't still be walking around in their prison togs.
Do you know anything about these men yet?
Oh, they're a couple of bad boys, all right. Donnelly and Wilson... You remember they did a bank job down in London a couple of years ago?
No, I don't remember it, no.
Oh, their names were all in the papers. They were both armed at the time. They beat up a night watchman, used the butts of their guns.
They drew 10 years each on account of that.
So I suppose they'll be watching for them down in London tomorrow.
If we don't catch them tonight, they will. You know, that's a funny thing. Most blokes, as soon as they break out of prison, doesn't matter where they are, they head for home like a lot of flipping homing pigeons. Just shows what a balmy lot some of them are inside. They all know that as soon as a man breaks out, we're watching their relatives, no matter where they live.
What if they don't have any relatives?
Then they've got nowhere to run to, have they? I mean, no one's going to harbour an escaped convict unless there's something in it for them, or because he's a member of the family. Now, you take this Donnelly, for instance. According to the screws at the Nick, no one's ever visited him since he started serving his time there. He was supposed to have had a pretty young wife when he was carrying a gun around. But the moment he got sent to prison, she just faded out.
Here's your tea.
Oh, thanks, Mary.
Yours, George.
Thanks.
If you don't mind, I've got a few things to do upstairs.
Oh, you're leaving us?
Yes, if you don't mind.
Oh, something the matter with her?
No, there's just got a few things on her mind, I imagine.
Women, you've got to have them, but you can never understand them. Got any fags on you?
Oh, yes, sure. Got some up here. That's funny. No, I know I did have them on this shelf.
It doesn't matter. I just run out.
Yes, but I had some up here. Oh, Mary must have taken them.
I thought she'd stopped smoking.
Yes, well, she must have put them somewhere.
Or maybe there's been someone else round who'd run out.
Yeah, I suppose that could have happened, yes.
Anyway, you'll have plenty of duty frees when your brother-in-law arrives. No sign of them yet, I suppose?
No.
Oh, they'll have stacks. I wouldn't mind a couple of packets if there's any going.
Oh, sure, I'll ask them.
You know what time they're arriving yet?
Oh, well, Mary said something about trouble with the ship. Boilers or something. They were a bit uncertain about when they'd be free.
Oh, they'll be running out of trains at Anabia pretty soon. I hear you're getting all spruced up for them.
Oh, you mean the paintwork on the window? Well, I really ought to be getting on with that.
No, I mean, aren't you getting a couple of new suits?
Oh, well, I've been thinking about it.
Well, your missus has been thinking, if what I hear's right. The wife saw her buying them.
What? Your Jessie saw Mary buying suits for me?
Yes. Now, don't tell me you didn't know anything about it.
Oh, well, I guess she was up to something.
Well, you can't fool me, George. You didn't know anything about it, did you?
Oh, it's our first anniversary coming up next week. I knew she'd been saving up for something.
Oh, now I've gone and let the cat out of the bag. Anyway, when she shows them to you, you look surprised. That's the way to treat a woman, same as you would a child.
Yes, yes, I know. Mary's full of surprises.
Well, I'm off. Now, don't forget about those fags when your brother-in-law turns up.
No, I'll come with you to the front door.
All right. Thanks for the warm-up. You see, it's going to freeze solid tonight.
Oh, yes, I expect you're right.
Good night, then, George.
Good night, Jerry. Now, remember about the cigarettes for you.
Shall I put the kettle on?
All right, Roddy. Did George say he'd be around?
Two men
broke
out of Trenton prison late this afternoon. They are Michael John Donnelly, aged 28, and Brian Wilson, aged 25. Both men are serving 10-year prison sentences for an armed raid on a London bank 2 years ago. Police have set up roadblocks on the roads leading to Nottingham and Leicester, and drivers are being questioned. It is believed that the two men who escaped...
Oh, evening, Roddy.
Evening.
I thought you were busy tonight.
Well, I sort of
scales the outer wall.
What about these two men?
What?
This afternoon, police headquarters issued a warning that these two men may be dangerous.
Well,
road deaths last
you can
showed
switch
a slight
that
improvement.
Off now, Roddy.
Well, that's the second time tonight they've been on about those fellows. They put on pictures of them before.
What did they look like?
Well, you could see what type of men they were, all right.
Oh, those photographs the police take, they always make people look like that.
Oh, it doesn't matter who takes the photographs. You could see what type of men they were. You're just in time for a cup of tea, George.
I'll just have one, will
I? Yeah, I suppose you have.
Well, I will have one, thanks.
Well, I'll go make it then.
Yeah, I shan't be long. Mother, you've got a lot of old newspapers somewhere, haven't you?
They're in the bottom cupboard there.
Oh.
That's that Maggie Fair kettle for you. Ask me to put by your morning newspapers from when you were living here so she could put them under her new carpets. Then she never collected them. Oh. You could throw that lot out now. She'll never want them now.
Yes, I will.
What are you looking for in there, then?
These were about the same time as those two men were caught.
Well, that's nothing to do with us. I know what I'd like to do with them men.
What would you do with them?
Oh, they're not fit to live, not that sort.
Well, didn't kill anybody.
I don't know what's got into you with all your new ideas on things. Or maybe I do.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I suppose you've got a right to your own ideas.
Meaning I haven't, I suppose.
I never said that.
We've got the teapot in here.
It's over there, Roddy.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, what have you got all these newspapers out for? Somebody doing their crosswords?
George is looking up about them men what escaped. He feels sorry for them.
I never said that, Mother.
Well, look at what it says in this one. Shorter jackets for men. Well, that's going a bit back, isn't it?
Well, they're all 2 years old, these papers.
I can't think how you've got time reading through all them now. I thought you'd be up to your eyes with your new relatives by now. I suppose they've all arrived to make themselves at home by now, haven't they?
Oh, yes, yes. Mary's looking after them.
Yeah, I suppose she is. Blood's thicker than mortar.
What do you think of this, then? Miss Lola DuPont, honeymooning on the Italian Riviera with film director husband Armo Casano or something, told reporters, I shall love this man till the day I die. She divorced him last month, didn't she?
I thought you was making the tea, Roddy.
Oh, only trying to be helpful. This is more what you're after, isn't it? Bank raider's sentence. Hey, look, there are photographs of them. They're the same as they put on the telly earlier on tonight.
Yeah, let me see.
Oh, hold on a minute. Donnelly's wife leaves court in tears. See picture on page 5.
Yeah, let me have that paper.
All right, all right. Look for yourself if you want.
I can't think why you're so interested.
Just a minute, Mother.
Do you mind if I look too?
If you want to.
Oh, she looks a slip of a thing, doesn't she? Oh, very dramatic the way she's holding that handbag up to her face, isn't it?
Yeah, she wouldn't want anyone to recognize her coming out of a place like that, I wouldn't wonder.
Myra Donnelly. Oh, that's a nice name for a girl, I always think.
Sounds soft to me. It isn't English.
Well, is that what you were looking for then, George?
Well, I was just curious, that's all. Weren't you making some tea or something?
I thought you didn't want any.
He changed his mind.
All right, then, tea for three coming up. Now then, where's that teapot?
It's over there.
All right, yeah. Oh, well, off we go. I shan't be long.
Well, have you finished with them newspapers?
Yes, I'll throw them out for you.
Oh, leave them there. Roddy will do it.
Mother, I may be going away for a bit.
I've been expecting that.
What makes you say that?
Well, I know you two wouldn't want to be stuck in a place like Thrapston forever. Not now you've got each other. I mean to say, Mary's only young, and young people want some fun. There's not for a year.
Oh, no, I might be going away on my own for a bit.
Who'd look after you?
I could look after myself.
Oh. Well, I suppose it's none of my business.
Now, you see, Mary may have to go with her brother back to London for a while. There may be some business they've got to clear up down there.
I see.
What do you see?
Well, naturally, that comes first with her, doesn't it? What would happen to your job while you're gone away?
I'd have to get another when I came back, wouldn't I? Oh, I just thought I'd warn you that I might be going. You'll be all right with Roddy here.
Where were you thinking of going, then?
Abroad, somewhere.
Well, there must be some reason why you're planning to fly off in different directions. Not that it's any of my business, of course.
Well, Mother, I wanted to talk to you about it.
Well, I'm here.
Hey, open up, I've got my hands full.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. Did you hear those bloodhounds howling just then? You can hear them from the back, clear as anything. Oh, it's enough to give you the creeps. Where shall I put the tray? Next to you, Mrs. Maid?
Put it down here, Roddy.
There you are. Yeah, was I interrupting you?
No, it's all right. As I was saying, Mother, I wondered if you could help me, that's all.
You should know that's my only thought, George. I've always done everything I could to help you. That's one advantage of being an only child.
Yes, I know. This person, they might not have to go away to clear up this business if things were made more worthwhile for them round here.
Who do you mean by this person? You or somebody else?
Are you sure I'm not interrupting? Well, I could take my tea up to my own room.
There's no need for you to do that, Roddy. If what's going to happen happens, everybody's going to know about it any road. Now then, George, who were you talking about?
I was referring to Mary.
And who's done anything to cross her, I'd like to know. Isn't she grateful for what you've done for her? Now let me tell you something, George, that your father used to say, what is to be will be.
Oh, so that's how you're ready to help me, is it?
There's no one can help you if she's made up her mind to go.
I know it's none of my business, George, but are you saying that Mary's gone away?
It's likely she will. And me too.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. Well, she's such a bright person around these
Mother, houses. Here's the front door key to this house. I'll ring the bell in future.
Now, what's the meaning of that? That's your key and this is your home.
My home's where my wife is, if she'll have me.
If she'll have you? I should think the boot's on the other foot.
Well, that's your way of looking at it, Mother. I'll be off now.
But if that woman's leaving you, you'll come back here, won't
Good
you?
Good night, Mother.
George!
Good night.
Well, shall I go after him?
No, he'll come back. He's got a comfortable home here. It's just a lot of funny ideas other people have put into his head. If she'll have him, I never heard such nonsense.
But, isn't it serious? If they're both talking about going away?
I expected it, Arthur. She's got far too highfalutin ideas for people like us. Don't worry about George. He's far too steady to fly off anywhere. He'll be perfectly all right once he's got shot of her.
But what if he loves her? Maybe she still loves him?
Oh, you can't tell me a young chit of a thing like that knows anything about love. Love is something you learn about through suffering.
I really think we ought to go after him, Mrs. Ramage. Maybe he wants somebody to talk to.
If he wants to talk to anybody, he's always got me. And why don't you call me Auntie, like I told you?
Auntie, then.
Now, settle down and drink your tea. There's no rhyme or reason why either of you two boys should get upset by whatever that young woman is up to. Go on. Sit yourself down.
All right.
And in future, you can call me Mother, if you like.
Evening, George.
Hello.
What are you looking for in your dustbin this time of night?
Oh, there were some things in here.
That's what dustbins are for, isn't it?
Well, they're gone now.
Maybe the dustbin's been working overtime, eh?
Yeah. Well, maybe he has.
I saw some fellas go off in your car.
Yeah, I suppose you did. Mary and her mother had to go off somewhere.
Oh. She locked you out then?
No, I'm just going in now. Good night.
Good night. You see, she has locked you out. She put the chain on the door. That's what my old woman used to do.
Well, there's a window open round the back. I'll get in there.
Shall I wait to see if you're all right?
No, don't bother. Good night.
Good night.
Well, aren't you going, then?
I wanted to see how you're getting.
I'm going round the back. There's a window open there.
Oh, all right, then. Good night.
Good night.
Poor old devil. Now, let's see about getting in.
Oh! How did milk bottles get round here? Fine cut burger I'd make. Light. No. Oh.
Mama, what?
Hey.
Oh, it's you.
What are you doing with that gun?
I might ask you what you're doing climbing through the window. Look at your trousers. They're covered in paint.
You had the chain on the front door.
The way you went off, I didn't know whether you were coming back or not. Let me do something about
it. No, leave me alone.
All right.
I see the car's gone.
If you'd been here, I could have asked you about it.
You would have asked me.
It was their only way of getting away.
And why didn't you go with them?
Would you have liked me to have done that?
Oh, I see. You mean this way people aren't going to talk. I suppose they left that gun behind, did they? Or have you had it hidden away all the time?
I don't don't know what you're on about.
You don't? I suppose some little bird came and took away those uniforms out of the dustbin.
They were their uniforms. They'd taken them with them.
Oh, isn't that rather dangerous? What if they're stopped and the wrong person sees those uniforms in the boot of the car?
But who's going to stop them?
Oh, I see. Of course, some time has gone by now. The roadblocks will probably already be down.
George, I don't know what you're talking about. Those were the uniforms they wear on the ship. They were going to buy new ones tomorrow in town, but now they've got to use the ones they had. You made a mistake.
Oh, that's really clever, that is.
George, you're talking like a stranger. Can I tell you what happened?
Go on.
Oh, you know, that's just what your mother says. Go on, when she means she doesn't want to listen. And I see when she means she doesn't see a damn thing of what you're saying.
Take me, my mother, out of it.
Mitch and his friend have been called back.
Oh, is that what you call it? You mean back inside the ship? So they'll need their uniforms, won't they?
Just after you walked out of here the way you did, there was a message telling them to go back to Liverpool straight away. There's something still wrong with the boilers. They'll both be back here by tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, isn't that pushing the luck just a bit too far, coming back here?
Well, if you're going to carry on like this, I suppose it is. I'd better tell them to stay away.
And I suppose all that's part of the plan, too. People know about those two suits you bought.
That's what comes of living in a town like this. They're upstairs if you want to see them. I had them in the wardrobe in the hall before you went out.
How did you have the money to buy them?
We don't. Not both of them. They're on approval to see if they fit you. And I've got enough money put by for you to have one of them.
You got it all worked out, haven't
Yes,
you?
Because I'm a better manager than you or anyone else around here likes to imagine. Now, will you excuse me, please?
What do you want now?
I simply want to get to the tap to fill this hot water bottle. It's freezing in bed alone.
Oh. Yeah, but you had to live in this town, didn't you? That was vital, wasn't it?
I picked it out with a pin. It looked as good as anywhere else. I just wanted to get away from London. I've told you all this before.
Well, I'll give you one thing. You've been faithful. You've worked and planned and plotted. You've done more than most women would do to help their man.
George, have you been drinking? You know you can't take it.
I have not been drinking.
Then is there something you want to tell me that I ought to know about?
Only that you've done your job very well. And there's one other thing.
Yes?
None of it would really matter if I didn't love you.
George, you're very sweet sometimes. Sometimes in the strangest ways. Would you mind telling me exactly what it is that does matter?
What matters? You know, you're so cool, it's a wonder that hot water bottle on your arm doesn't turn into a block of ice.
Well, it hasn't done up to now. Are you coming to bed now?
I don't know how you can ask that. After a whole year of pretense.
Then are you going to spend the night down here?
No, just leave me alone.
All right. Good night.
Mary.
Yes, George.
It's... No, it's... There's nothing. Leave me alone.
All right. Good night.
Mary, the gun. No, I see. I'm left with the gun. Well, let it be on her conscience. Young love's wild and crazy. So they'll do anything to help each other, even if it means breaking my heart. Always pull this trigger. It's all over. Oh heavens, Mary. I wish it hadn't had to end like this.
What are you doing now?
This gun. Where'd you get it from? It's a water pistol.
I know. And you got water all over your face. Oh, let me get a towel to you. You do the oddest thing sometimes.
Where'd it come from?
It's one of the presents Mitch's friend bought for his little brother. When I heard someone breaking into the kitchen, I brought it downstairs just to scare them. Now then, hold still while I mop you up.
You know what I thought?
Don't tell me you thought it was a real one, or I'll be quite sure you've gone off your head. Fancy pointing it at yourself and squeezing the trigger.
Oh, no, no, no. You see, what I thought was...
Well, I'm listening.
Well, it doesn't matter now. What did you come back for?
Oh, to give you back your cigarettes.
Oh, Tara.
I was going to have one, and I took them off the shelf. You'll probably need them if you're going to spend the night down
here. Yes, thanks. I thought you'd taken them for Mitch.
No, he had plenty. He's left a carton for you, the ones they get cheap on the ship. They're upstairs.
Well, that was thoughtful of him.
You know, George, you're still acting like you thought the world was coming to an end.
Maybe I thought it was. Can I kiss you?
It could be arranged. I am the woman you married, you know.
Oh, Mary, love. I think things will be different now. I sort of straightened things out with my mother tonight. I'll still go on visiting her, of course, but things will be different. And thank you for the electric razor.
Oh, you nice, funny man. Now come to bed. It's only one flight of stairs back where we started.
Yes, all right. I better bolt up this window, though. Paint's ruined anyway, climbing in. Don't want those men breaking in here. Not tonight.
Oh, they've been caught. I just thought you'd have known.
When were they caught?
Sometime this evening. They were on their way back to Leicester. What's the matter now? You look like you've seen a ghost.
If anyone had planned to help them after they'd broken out of prison, those plans would have to wait now until they broke out again, wouldn't they?
I suppose so.
When did you know about this?
Well, the police told me when they came round here.
Police were here?
Well, you know, telegrams aren't delivered this time of night, so Mitch's chief engineer telephoned from Liverpool to the local police station. They sent someone round here with a message.
And the policeman saw Mitch?
It was that young PC Robinson. You know what he's like, bossy like all the others. He insisted on delivering the message personally, so I had to wake up Mitch and bring him down. Now, can you tell me what's worrying you this time?
Oh, no, nothing. I just thought... it's nothing. Nothing now.
Are you quite sure?
Yes, I'm quite sure. Are you going to show me those two new suits tonight?
Is that the most interesting thing I can do for you right now?
No. Come here, love. I reckon they can wait.
Tonight's presentation of You're Not the Woman I Married. You heard Hugh Russ as George, Diane Wilson as Mary, John Hayter as Sharp, and James White as Roddy. Others in the cast were Kenneth Baker, Michael Drinn, and Marjorie Gordon. You're Not the Woman I Married was produced for Lux Radio Theatre by Michael Silver.